Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
Sofa King. No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King.
With retard. You say funny things.
Hey guys, did you know that intro was from the Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
What?
Yeah, I didn't even know that. Some fan commented and was like, hey, that's from the Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Did you guys know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't fucking know that either. It's crazy. These things are insane that we learned.
People don't bring that up very much, though.
They did. They did, yeah.
In the beginning, maybe, but...
I don't know. Maybe because nobody ever heard of it. But yes... We know where the fuck it's from. I cut it and mixed it. Yes. Thank you. So, how you guys doing today?
I'm all right.
I haven't seen you guys in a while.
No, it's been
Brent's
like...
Brent's been sick.
I don't remember the last week. Not that I ever remember the last week.
You're sick. You're fucked up. Your knee's fucked up.
Yep.
I'm fucked up.
Got it. We're all fucked up.
All fucked up.
This whiskey thing is fucked up. I can't get this thing to open.
Fuck. Is somebody counting fucks again? I saw a post.
Oh, did
man,
you?
Yeah. I was like, man, that post is fucked up. She's right. Fucked. What do we got? What
someone gave us whiskey. Are we doing that right now?
Yeah, we got a lot of whiskey.
Yeah, we have so much whiskey, we're backlogged. So
yeah, we are backlogged.
We got backgrounds we can pour it, and then we'll talk about
all
it.
Right, if we haven't said thank you yet, it's because
we need a backlog of money.
Yeah,
that's what I need.
we're working on it.
Pour some of my goblet.
I actually sent my mom a text message with a picture of your goblet. I haven't heard back to see if it's safe to drink out of that fucking thing.
Oh, well, I didn't alcohol. Die yet.
I didn't get any yet.
It's not like fizzing or anything. It's gold on the inside.
Is. I just don't know what metal that is.
It's all good. Either.
What's sure. No one ever died from drinking out of lead. Mm-hmm.
So who sent us this whiskey and what whiskey is it?
It's Adam Felt. Fletterman. Adam Fletterman sent us Buffalo Trace.
He's a patron.
Which I actually just got some of this for my birthday too.
Mm. That was a good ding.
Let's see. I'm a fucking man. It just didn't faze me anymore at all. I drink that shit like Gatorade.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good.
It kind of sweet, a little caramely.
Mm-hmm. Spicy.
Spicy, thank you.
It never gets old, though. I still laugh every time you fucking say it. I know you're going to say
Buffalo Trace, that's good. Is that a bourbon?
Let's see what it says. Straight bourbon.
Yeah.
Kentucky straight bourbon.
You can tell, yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, Dave hates bourbons.
No. But then he doesn't, though.
Well, like I said, apparently I hate Jim Beam. Because Beam is always
Jim Beam's
like that's all I think of when I think of bourbon.
Jim
because
Beam's
that's what
rough,
most
though.
People I knew in college drank, and it was bourbon. And I was like, apparently I don't like bourbon because I don't fucking like that. But now that I'm drinking good bourbons, I'm like, oh no, I really like bourbon.
Well, there's different. I mean, there's different ones.
Do you think we're really ever gonna drink Adam Sandler's fucking 1960?
Adam Sandler's.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, we did. I don't think we'll drink at all. I don't know.
We just need to filter it. I just want to filter it so all the floaties are gone
because we already drink it.
I know we drink it, but it's like, I don't reach for it. It scares me.
Once we filter it, I'll reach for it.
All right.
I'll
get her done.
Yeah. Mm. We just need to do that. So, one quick thing. I was playing my game that I play all the time, Fun Run Arena. Mm-hmm. I have a robust clan community of listeners of the show, which is awesome.
Is it full up?
It's full up. Yeah. Oh, nice. I kicked a couple of people out because they haven't been playing. But I was playing this morning and it's always a race of four people and I got, are you getting some weirdness out of the goblet?
Yeah, I smelled that cup and it smells sulfury.
After that, after it's set in there, like it's getting like,
I washed that for you too, right?
Oh, no. I know that, but it's getting like,
sediment.
It's thickening.
It's coagulating. That's weird.
It's like thick, like along the walls. Yeah. And it did the second drink I took of it. Tasted a lot different. Oh, well, I'll forget and worry about that next week.
Yeah, we'll worry about it later.
Forget because of the metallic poisoning in your brain.
But yeah. I was playing Fun Run Arena, and you always play with four people. And at the end of a race, it always says the names of the four people that you were just randomly playing with out of like the 5 million downloads that have happened. Mm-hmm. And one of the people who wasn't in the clan was named SFK El Yucateco.
Hmm.
And I was like, fucking... Sofa King, like, are you
kidding? Yeah.
Like, but he had never sent me an invite. It was just like 1 in 5 million chance that he happened to land in my game.
Oh, because unless you're in the clan, like, what's the chances you would land in that game? You can't pick, like, the
server. You don't pick who, you're just whoever the fuck is at the, so it was just a complete random, strange Sofa King happenstance.
And now he's
in the clan.
Yeah. I'm sure it was Sofa King because the only way people know about El Yucateco is through us.
Right.
Like nobody ever even heard of them.
Yeah. 1968 before Brad and I were born.
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody.
They weren't selling any merchandise. They had a backlog of merchandise. They just started selling it when we started the podcast.
They had a kiosk in the mall.
They did.
Yeah.
But I'm also, it's like, how, like, I'm a little bit hurt. Like, he should have, like, abbreviated El Yucateco and, like, put Sofa King on blast. He fucking abbreviates Sofa King and puts El Yucateco on blast.
Maybe he was, like, the San Francisco Cutter or something, though. Like, can't.
Yeah, it could have been anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the clan.
Yeah, speaking of El Yucateco, I put up a post and asked for you to like, comment, share. And
your voice is very gravelly and sexy today.
I'm trying. Yeah. And I picked Zach Kirby because I fucking want to. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah. I heard you say everybody else's posts suck, even his, but
I mean,
really,
it wasn't necessarily that great of a question. I have to get creative, you know.
At least you're owning it.
Yeah, I didn't ask for like funny responses, but I just feel like you're like going to make a funny response.
Like if you were naked, what body part would you put El Yucateco on?
It's like fucking dicks and tits right away. Yeah, it's just over. It's like,
well, that's too, you know, predictable. See, that's predictable. See, and then somebody who wins is going to be the person that's not predictable.
That's true.
They'll put on their weenus. And for those of you who know what a weenus is,
you're already a step ahead. Like, you've already evolved one step.
That just made me ask the question.
First person, first person that knows what a weenus is and messages me, I'm going to send you stickers. Just saying.
But he wants to see it, though.
Yeah, he wants a picture.
Yeah, you can send me a picture of your weenus if you really know what a weenus is.
Yep.
So, all right.
Yeah.
God, so many messages. What did I do?
So Patreon, thank you to our Patreon supporters.
Yes.
We got some more in this last week.
We'll do something special this week for them, and it will be announced at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yes. But if you'd like to be a patron, go to patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast and pledge anywhere from $1 on up.
Yes.
So, starting at $100, you can pledge. So get in there and spend your money.
Somebody one-upped. I won't say it because I don't want to ruin what we're doing, but somebody pledged $50 this week.
Damn. Ooh.
It was impressive, yeah.
That is impressive. Yeah. Legit. And
everybody stuck with what we had put, but somebody went above and beyond.
Yeah.
They're like ultra.
They're the king. I'll announce it at the end, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So, we on our Sofa King fan group, one of the things that's always pinned at the top on Facebook is a poll where you can vote on topics.
I fucking hate Facebook.
And I know you. But we've been picking topics, not necessarily the number one topic, but we've been picking topics that have been voted towards the top that are interesting. And that's how we
decided on. Yeah, because some of them, like Casey Anthony, won't ever get talked about.
Fuck that. That's horrible. I don't want to.
And the murdered children thing. Just so you guys know, don't waste your time.
Yeah, those aren't happening.
This is sort of a democracy, but you don't get to vote for those ones
because
we just won't pick it no matter what.
Right. But we did pick the Donner Party, which many people voted for. And we thought it was fairly interesting, and I'm glad to have researched it because it wasn't what I thought. I just thought pure bad weather. They got fucked. They all ate each other, but it was a whole lot of dumb fuckery leading up to it.
Well,
These are rough, dude. I sometimes I have these like little epiphanal clear moments where I put myself in the position and realize that history happened. These fucking horrible things happened, and moms and dads and kids went through that shit. Yeah. I started thinking about camping and being in the woods and being at the snow. And I was like, what if you didn't get to leave the snow for the whole fucking winter?
Right.
And had to live in a fucking shanty buried in snow and eat boiled hide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was fucking rough.
It's pretty rough.
It was rougher than my voice.
It is rougher than your voice.
I don't think I'm going to make it through 2 episodes, better. Dude.
You're right.
You're good.
It's like half-assed Dave.
You're good.
You'll make it through this one, but the next one's going to be Friday episode's going to be bad.
Yeah. I should start trying to sound more like you so everyone's confused and they don't know who's who.
I don't want
to
hear it. It'll be a dick.
I lose my voice.
That sounds exactly like.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell myself apart.
I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah, I didn't know who was talking, me or Brent. That was crazy.
You got confused.
Yeah.
So the Donner Party set out. We're talking cowboy days. We're in the Old West.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, that's, I do say, Brent.
when I can laugh normal, though. That's weird. It's like when British people sing.
And they somehow sound American.
They speak American.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they sing. So in April of 1846, a handful of people leave Springfield, Illinois to head west, right? And this, it's like, I just, like, right away I wonder when people in fucking Cuba are going to build a fucking homemade raft and hope they make it to Florida.
Yeah.
When people from Mexico are going to fucking go through treacherous deserts and fucking risk drowning just to get to America and fucking pick fruit. And that's better than what they have. When people in like fucking war-torn countries are like escaping regimes and they're willing to fucking die on rough oceans.
That's it's Americans.
Like how bad is what you're leaving if that's – and I'm like, what the fuck was wrong with Springfield, Illinois in 1846? Yeah.
And us Americans have it easy. Like, all we got to do is go to Canada. We just cross the border.
Yeah, that's easy.
Like, easy.
Yeah. There's no stopping us.
Yeah. It's easy until there's a wall.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's good. We need it.
Yeah. Trudeau should build a wall.
Canada.
Make us pay for it.
I don't know fucking French Canadians coming in here. Even the Canadians hate French Canadians. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, they might. But so a bunch of people leave Springfield, Illinois because they're like, fuck Springfield. We're heading to California. So
the place you got to be.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody got it.
So they head out. And the thing that's weird is everyone calls it the Donner Party, right?
Not
and
me.
There's two. No, you don't.
I call it the Dahmer Party.
Yes, you do. Fittingly. Yeah. But like the whole thing was done by a guy named James Reed. Like he started it. He led the group like most of the time.
It's just called the Donner Party because they went through the Donner Pass. Like,
well, because he got voted out at that one point and it became the Donner Party. Okay. They led the Donners led the party at that
through
point.
Through the Sierra Nevada.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the part that fucked up. But that's,
I guess that's good for him in history because he's like,
I didn't make that decision.
You voted me off the island before.
Yeah. Well, and he and every family member lived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys had to eat your babies.
So James Reed puts together a group and he's like, he's wealthy. Apparently he had like this, did you read about his wagon?
Yeah. It was like two stories of spring loaded seats and
like a fucking cast iron.
It was the Ferrari of wagons of the time.
His daughter called it the Pioneer Palace car. And it was like pulled by eight oxen, like this fucking massive, ridiculous.
They had a fucking herd of cattle with him. I didn't realize that.
Like, is he like the fucking Illinois Santa?
Pretty much.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this guy was legit. So a total of 32 people in 9 wagons leave Springfield and they head towards California. They at some point met up with a wagon trail near Independence, Missouri, that was led by a guy named Stuart Jeffs. And they ended up having 87 members in the party total.
Damn.
So
now that's a party.
That's a party.
Yeah.
That's right. So they end up moving forward, right? And just to put, like, they know it's fucking dangerous heading out in the first place. Like, well, this is some dangerous shit.
Well, they read this book. It's like Hastings. What is it? Hastings Cutoff is the path. But the guy Hastings wrote a book about the guide to California.
The Emigrant's Guide to Oregon and California.
Right. And he had never fucking done it himself. No. And he writes a fucking book, which, if it's like you write some bullshit book about weight loss and you sell it on the internet now, that's one thing. People don't lose weight. But you don't write a fucking book and mislead people that 7,000 wagons are heading through your fucking new secret shortcut that you've never quite checked out yet.
Yeah. But so, this fucking guy did.
And well, he heard it was bad.
Also, don't believe everything you read. Because it goes both fucking ways.
That's true. And some people, because at the time it wasn't a state, it was the Republic of California. And a lot of people think in hindsight, historians think that Hastings wanted to become the president of the Republic of California. And if he had forged this new path that got all these people to California, he would like have a leg up on everybody and be able to win the election. And all these people would love him because he got them through quicker. Because he was claiming that his path would cut 300 to 400 miles off of the trip.
It ended up being 125 miles longer.
Yeah.
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 And fucking horrible.
Fucking horrible conditions. Because there was a known path. Like there was the California Trail that you would hook up with and take, and there was a set timeline. And that the timeline is very important in the story because you had to leave at a time when all the grasses had grown enough that that your fucking crazy ox team could keep eating on the entire path. So you had to leave when everything was green. Yeah.
And before it started snowing.
Right. So you couldn't leave too early in the summer because there wouldn't be enough greenery yet. And if you left too late in the spring, you'd get to the mountain passes when they were snowed in. So there was like this, you leave at this time, you get on the California Trail, you show up in California.
Yeah. And I want to point out, like, be appreciative of travel now. Like next time you take off to the beach for the weekend or whatever the fuck you're doing, like don't trip on the 3-hour car ride because it fucking would have taken 7 weeks.
Yeah.
That shit's just people crazy.
Because even before any of the...
And grandma wouldn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because before they even got into any fucked up shit, like on May 25th of that, you know, like a month into the trip, there was a woman named Sarah Keys who died and they buried her near a river in Kansas. And I tried to find a couple of things that said how she died and everything just said she died.
They kicked her to death.
So apparently
She wouldn't stop talking. She was one of those ladies
that was the grandma.
Just fucking kept talking. That was a grandma?
It was a grandma.
She wouldn't shut the fuck up.
I'm not sure.
Kicked her to death.
I just assume she died from old west.
Like old age is an option.
Fucking old west.
Yeah. She died of an ingrown hair infection.
Exactly. Some shit that doesn't kill anybody anymore is what killed her. Yeah. And she died horribly. And then on May 26th, a woman named Kim Sapienza and Jessica Stemmen both died as well. So even early on, there were people dying before anything even fucked up happened, when the weather was still nice, etc. So it was a fairly dangerous situation. So they end up getting to what they call the Hastings route, right? So that guy, James Fraser Reed, the super rich guy, he's the one who read the book and he's the one who says, we need to follow this new guy's path, and they end up heading out.
And before they get to the Hastings route, there's a point where they're on the normal path all the way there, and there becomes a fork in the road, and they camped, I can't remember the name of the camp, just before that. He just talked to a man who came horseback on the Hastings cutoff, but he came on horseback from California to them. And he said, how was it? And he said, absolutely do not go that way.
Yeah.
It was hard on horseback.
Right.
You cannot get wagons through there. Don't do it. If you go that way, you'll perish, is what his words were. Do not take to the path.
And it's weird because it was actually, they met him at Fort Laramie. And that was where the road cutoff was. Right. And it was an old friend of Reed's who he knew from Illinois, a guy named Brian Severson. And that was the guy who said, I read this, I traveled it myself. I know you want to go there, but don't fucking do it. Like, trust me. And Reed still pushed for it and said, nope, we're doing it.
I think he might have knew that guy though. He's like, that guy's a fucking idiot. Fuck this guy.
They said they don't know to this day like why he didn't heed the warning, but it's probably, they said it has to do with human nature and just, you want to try the shortcut.
Right.
Well, it's one of those things like he had it probably set in his mind, like, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
I can do it. Don't tell me I can't do it,
Well, but here's the thing.
He was kind of cocky, like a rich aristocrat too.
Here's the other thing to factor though, is like some of the most horrible places that they were only traveling 2 miles a day. And in some of the good passages, they were traveling maybe 10, 15 miles a day.
Right. That's not very.
So if you're going to save 300 or 400 miles, that's fucking significant. That's a whole lot of old ladies dying from the old west.
Right.
Like that's a whole lot of fucking rattlesnakes that aren't biting your ass and engines that aren't fucking shooting you. Like that's a whole lot of like, we can live more if this actually works.
Yeah, but it honestly doesn't make any sense either, because one takes hundreds of miles and they're, you're going to cut 300 miles off this trail. how the fuck are you going to do that? Because you're going the same way.
Well people were doing it though. Because like when they were like laying the railroad and stuff, it's like there were surveyors and trackers who were just going through the mountains and like new paths. And they were like, oh, fuck, if we went this way.
They would have to send like two we could Indians totally, ahead on horse and then come back like, we made it through. You can make it. Because think about trying to do that. You don't have a hot air balloon. Yeah. You can't see the overview. You might head all the way down some fucking like ravine and find out that nope. You can't dig a tunnel through that. You have to come all the way back out with a bunch of wagons.
So if you had to cut around a mountain for like a week and somebody knew a way, there's a trail that goes into like, so there were at the time a lot of people exploring the West and coming up with new legitimate routes.
Yeah.
But this fucking guy,
I can't believe how the wagon trails were like ingrained in the road. Like it was, they said it was like 2 feet deep at some points.
Because
like,
so many people,
yeah, because so many people have been on the road that it actually made a road.
Yeah. Well, and if it rains along the way too, then, you know, it gets soft and will create ruts. You
right.
know? So
it was a trip.
That might not be the best thing though.
Well, you're not supposed to leave till the grass is tall, man.
Right. I'm just saying, like,
but in the spring when it rains, it's going to rain. It's going to get muddy. Now, you know what I mean?
Okay. Like, Google Bakersfield weather.
Yeah.
They're all, how tall is that grass looking? Fucking muddy trail, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fucking, it was rough days, you know, and that's because the old West will just kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's even that, whatever that stupid Seth MacFarlane movie was.
That shit sucked.
Which one?
The old West one.
Where he's a cowboy, where he, what's he?
10 million ways to, a million ways to die in the West or something.
Oh, that thing was fucking awful.
Yeah. I will say it was awful, but the premise.
And so was Adam Sandler's West.
The premise was funny though.
That was bad too. But that was supposed to be.
It was horrible.
I think it was supposed to be shitty.
But I think I kept thinking of it when I was doing. Yeah. I mean, the premise was the old West just kills you.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't from stupid shit, you're going to die.
That movie.
And that's what
work.
I kept thinking of on this. It's like, you're all going to fucking die. Welcome to the old West. So they end up leaving a place called Fort Bridger. And Lansford Hastings from the guy who did that had left ahead of them. And he knew they were coming, but he left with a group who wanted to get there a little bit earlier.
I think he was coming towards them, wasn't he? From California.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, he was coming. Okay. From California towards them.
He was coming on them.
Yes. He was trying to come on a tree, but he missed.
Right.
Yeah. He came on Grandma.
Yeah.
But at one point, so they get to a point where they're trying to get through the Wasatch Mountains. And this is one of the places that is this where the trail actually kind of worked?
When they leave there, they leave with a whole wagon train. And at some point,
23 wagons, 87 people.
Yeah. And then a bunch take off one way and they go ahead and take the right.
Right.
And they head towards the Hastings path. And at one point they meet up with Hastings up there. I don't know when you're getting to that, but he actually leaves a fucking note or something.
Yeah. He left a note on a fucking forked stick on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And like they read it and so forth, but they sent someone up ahead. It was actually James Reed. They wanted to make sure this was legit. So he rode up ahead, to make sure that he could follow Hastings' route through the mountains. And he came back and said, yes, this actually worked. So up until this point, his new path seems to be working. So they get through they start to get through the mountains earlier and they're all excited about it. But then at the end of it, the path gets all fucked up. So by the time they get to Salt Lake, it's already cost him 18 extra days because of the shortcut.
Yeah. Right? I can't remember where Salt Lake's fucked though. That place was horrible for him, but they met with Hastings at one point and he wouldn't even come down. Like he was up on a rock. He's like, yeah, don't go that way. It's not going to work. Like you're going to have to try to go off the path basically. So he told him like, yeah, my trail's not going to work. Cause he came through, he says impassable. They're like, well, can you come lead us through? And he refused to lead them even though they were going that way because of him. And then he left off the other way and told him to try to cross the salt flats, which when you look at it, it seems like, oh, it's just flat fucking road.
Right.
Well, flat plain. And that you're going to be able, and it's made of salt. Like you're just going to roll across it. But it turns out that when it gets hot, the moisture would rise up and it turned into like gum. Like,
yeah,
it was like peanut butter, which tried to make a happy place for me, but it wasn't very happy.
Right. Yeah. So, and this is where they were moving 2 miles,
two miles a day.
And it wasn't like, oh, we're just fucking cruising 2 miles. It was 2 miles of fucking broken axles
and salt mud
and fucking crawling through salt mud and forcing your ox to keep moving.
Yeah. Like if you ever got your tire stuck and had to get your car out, It was that, but then that again, because you were in the middle of it and you had no choice but to keep going through the shit you're getting stuck in. When that happens in life now, you go, I'm not going to drive that way again. And you go to Burger King and then go home.
Right. Or this you fucking call AAA.
Yeah. And they were past the point of no return, I think, too, at that point. They can't turn around because they won't make it either. Yeah,
right.
I feel them. I texted you. I got stuck and hit a pole Friday.
Oh, fuck.
Stuff.
How'd you hit a pole? I don't understand.
Slid into it.
Oh, shit. Like a telephone pole?
The ground gave out.
Yeah.
No, it was like a yellow guard pole. And I went up and I was like, it looks okay. But I got to get to this certain spot. And so I went up and there was kind of a bump. And then the ground gave out on the right side of the truck. Shit. And just fucking went and boonk. And I was like, oh, fuck.
If you hadn't hit the pole, where were you going to slide?
Into a well.
Like
an oil well. Yeah. Fuck.
I mean, the truck won't go in the well though, right?
Well, no, it'd probably break something off though and fucking...
fuck shit up.
Maybe die.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, don't do that.
No. Yeah.
So that was fun. Getting that out was fun.
I bet. And so imagine doing that all fucking day.
And he said there was 90 degree gusts or something where you were going.
Oh, yeah. Like 90 to 100 mile an hour winds.
Fuck.
Fun. It was like a mountain hurricane.
That's what Brad did his studying. He did real life. Like he wanted to get into the character. Yeah.
I almost had to eat this lady at the gas station. I went in there and I'm like, give me a Twinkie, bitch. Wait a minute. That arm looks delicious.
My name's Mountain Hurricane. Yeah. I'm going to eat your arm. He turned into an alternate persona. Yeah.
You heard of the Donners. Call me Mountain Hurricane.
I'll eat your leg.
I think I have a fever. I'm just going to point that out.
Do you have a fever?
I don't know why we're here.
We're doing a podcast.
The only answer is more cowbell. So someone got that. Keep going. Okay. I really do think I have a fever though. I'm sweating and it's not hot in here.
So it's just
kind of chilly.
They end up getting through the fucking salt flats and it's pretty brutal. On the third day of their trip, they've already run out of water because it's taking them so long to get through it. And it's such back-breaking work that they're burning through all their water. And again, keep in mind, they've got like cattle and oxen and mules and have to drink water too and have to get through here. And so they're out of water on the third day. A bunch of Reed's oxens ran off. And then like, when they finally,
they went mad from thirst and ran off in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yep. So they finally get to through the desert after 5 days, and then they end up resting where there's like some water and stuff for five days, and this is 80 miles. So it took them 5 days to get through 80 miles in the Salt Lake Desert, and they've lost a total of 32 oxen. Reed had to abandon two of his wagons, but then again, he had a fucking 2 foot story wagon with a fucking disco ball in it. So
he lost that one.
It was like a tour bus. Yeah, fucking day.
They had to get rid of that for sure.
Yeah, his little fuck shack in the back he had to abandon it.
The both of the Donner brothers lost a wagon, and someone else named Yanuri Dietrich lost a wagon as well while they were going through it.
One of the families that lost a wagon, I think it might have been one of the Donner wagons. They were trying to fix it or something. They couldn't. The wind was crazy. They crawled. They finally caught up on foot and slept under the Reed's wagon with like a blanket on the ground and a blanket over them. And they said the only reason they didn't freeze to death is because they had their dogs sleep on top of them. So that the body heat from the dogs kept them alive through the night.
Was that during the salt flats or
that's when they're losing the wagons. Like one of them lost their wagon and then had to sleep outside because the Reeds were already asleep. I'd have been like, knock, knock.
Yeah. Like, let me into your disco palace, bitches.
I think back then it was weird. It was like, you know, especially in that type of survival situation, you'd be like,
peace. Sorry. Yeah. Keep your pox out of my fucking tent. Like, nope.
This is Gary Coleman walking around. Get your pox blanket. Keep yourselves warm.
So from the September 10th through the 15th, they finally get through this trail, and then they reach the Humboldt River on September 26th. And this is where the new trail met up and they had already spent an extra 125 miles and they met other members of their party who had been waiting there for them, just like fucking chilling and drinking lemonade because they went on the original trail and they were like, fuck, took you guys a while. Wow. Where's all your ox? Huh? What happened to all your wagons?
3 months.
You guys look fucked up. So, yeah, it ended up like way delaying them. And this was sort of proof positive that Hastings Trail was complete fucking bullshit because they were so far behind. And again, and keep in mind, they're in a timeline, like they're on a race to beat the snows that are going to hit the Sierra Nevada. Spoiler alert. They don't make it.
Some of them do.
No, but they don't make it before the snows hit, you know. So again, it's like.
I think it's good, though. I think it's good they don't make it because then we wouldn't have the story to
talk
about.
That's true.
You might not be here
too. That's right. That's chaos. Hitler would have won because fucking the Donners didn't need each other.
Me and Brad for sure, because we're hillbilly babies, man. We came from long line.
I didn't. I came from Africa.
You skipping Reed stabbing that guy?
No, we're getting there. That's actually the next thing that goes on.
He fell asleep. He just woke up. He's not there yet.
October 5th, they are at a place called Iron Point, which couldn't sound more Old Westy.
I like it.
And two wagons get entangled. And John Schneider, who's a teamster of one of the wagons, starts to whip his oxen to get him to move.
And how do you entangle wagons?
I don't
understand.
I have no idea. They must have, maybe they had those spinny bling hubcaps and they like got locked into each other.
Like they were chariot fighting with the blades.
I think that's what it was.
Maybe.
So he goes up, he's pissed off at how this guy's beating the oxen, and he orders them to stop, and the guy wouldn't. So Reed grabs his knife and stabs him in the stomach and kills him.
Chest.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm.
One star. One of us is getting one star.
I read it and watched the documentary. It was both in the chest under the collarbone.
I'll take the one star.
The chest under the collarbone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm going with stomach.
AKA stomach. How do we know that John Schneider didn't have a high stomach?
That's like generally in the same area. You know what I mean? So
what if his stomach?
Collarbone is a fucking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, what if that's where his stomach was? Though. What if he had a high stomach?
Oh, and like a high yellow?
Yeah. Like a high yellow stomach.
So yeah, he did get stabbed in the chest, but he also got stabbed in the stomach.
Why do you burp so much?
What if it,
I got a high stomach.
What if it was a really long knife and it went through the collarbone?
Oh, yeah, like a crazy curved death. Like he stabbed him there and then it just went all the way down. He
fucking got him with a sickle.
He gets full really fast and shit.
Yeah.
You beat your ox one more time. Yeah. I'm stabbing you with this sickle, John Schneider.
And he gets heartburn. It's really fucked up.
Yeah.
So I mean, and I'm all about like, I don't know what leads to that. Like, you just got trail madness. Like, I'm all about animal rights.
Madness.
I'm all about all kinds of shit. And it's like, yeah, you're beating your oxen, but I don't know that I'm going to take out my knife and stab you through the collarbone down to the stomach.
I think
you're pretty fucking
else.
Irritated. You've been fucking making it 2 miles through fucking salty mud for the last couple of days. Wagons get tangled up. Dude's been a dick the whole time.
Right.
He looked at his girl funny. And then he said he was taking a swing. And as the guy swung, he stuck the knife in. Under his collarbone.
Nice. Oh, nice.
So he's defending himself.
So Reed was a pimp. He was rich and a knife wielding. Wow.
Yeah, I watched a reenactment. Sam Elliott, big mustache. It was cool.
Nice.
Never happened.
Big mustache.
It would be cool. Sam Elliott
should be fucking dope.
Looked just like Wyatt Earp. Yeah. They all look the same.
So they end up having a sort of ragtag court, you know. I mean, there's nobody around. They have to decide on what they want to do.
Setting around a campfire.
Pretty much, yeah. So a guy named Louis Kessberg wanted to have him hung.
That's
like
the
right there on
that
the
guy
spot.
Came all the way from Germany and then fucking got to Springfield and then decided to make the mission to California.
Yeah,
motherfucker, that guy's crazy.
Was on a roll.
Yeah, he put his wagon up on end somehow, like fucking popped a wheelie and tilted it and said, hang him from my fucking thing. Like, that's gangster.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's some Farfugnugen right there, dude. That guy knows.
He went empty.
He's got some fucking German engineering.
Out, and tilted the cabin up on end and said, you can hang him from there. I want justice.
Fuck. Yeah. So the group instead
fucking
votes
Germans.
To banish him. Which is kind of rough because like his family is still moving forward, but he gets banished to move back.
Right.
Which actually is probably a good thing for him
in the long run.
in the long run. So he ends up leaving with two other people from the group who went with him, a guy named Walter Heron and a woman named Ashley Deli Carpini.
Why wouldn't your family go with you? Like you get banished, your family would be like,
he probably knew that they had the best chance. Like they made some crazy decisions. Like there was at one point a 12-year-old girl stayed behind in the snow with her 3-year-old little brother, and the mom left because the 3-year-old brother couldn't walk through the snowdrift. It was too deep. So she said, if I never see you again, I'll do my best to take care of him until someone else comes to help. And at that point, people were already eating people, and they left the 12-year-old girl with the 3-year-old, like, keep an eye on him. We'll try to come back for you. You know, you just have to make the decision.
Oh, no, it got fucking rough. Yeah. Like right here. So on October 7th, right, we're not in the mountains. There's no snow yet. A guy named actually Lewis Kessberg, the guy who wanted to hang Reed, turns out, like, this is such a weird story with this guy. He turns out to be a Belgian man whose real name is Hardcoop.
He was hoarding all the chocolates.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of chocolates in his
chair. He's actually Belgian, not German, and his name is Hardcoop, not Kessberg. He'd been traveling with him, but he couldn't keep up with the rest of his party because his feet were getting increasingly swollen. Right. So he starts knocking on other wagon doors and he starts trying to get in to other wagons. And everyone's like, nope. Yeah, they have like wooden.
Oh, that's
wagons.
Not the German then, because the German guy makes it all the way.
Oh, okay.
Snow.
So Hardcoop must be. He must have just been traveling with the German.
Yeah, that's a different old man. Yeah.
Okay. So an old man named Hardcoop, who turned out to be a Belgian, who was traveling under a false identity, but he was traveling with Lewis Kessberg. Kessberg kicks him out. No one else will let him ride in their wagons. And they leave him under a large sagebrush with no food, no water, unable to walk, middle of nowhere, just fucking peace.
Yep.
Like, so that's the end of hard.
They should have took him because that's extra food.
They should have.
Could have salted him.
Yep. Mm.
End of salt.
Love
salt
some hard fights. Coop. Some roasted hard coop. That's good shit.
Tasty.
All the chocolate comes out of his pores. So on October 12th, again, this is so fucking shitty. On October 12th, they get raided by Paiute Indians who kill 21 of their oxen with poison arrows.
Yeah.
And during the attack.
See, and the Indians are wondering why they got attacked. Right. Fucking dicks.
So, and there, one guy named Vard Terry got hit with a poison arrow and he ended up living, but he had like a gimp leg for the rest of his life. But he was one guy. He was the one person who got hit. So they were obviously just attacking oxen and people who looked like oxen. trying to leave them behind. So they were probably just killing the oxen to fucking eat them.
And then the Indians laughed at them like from the top of a ridge.
Or killing them so they couldn't get anywhere.
Maybe.
Like they wanted
like
them
if
to
we kill,
they don't
we,
come into our territory.
Yeah.
They were just dropping poison arrows on them and laughing while
like
the
Indians run around. Yeah. Well, what happened was they had red bandanas and the Indians were blue bandanas.
Oh, that's right.
And
just
it was
a massive
territory.
Drive-by. Yeah. Yeah. But that would, I mean, if you were going into Paiute territory and they were like, we don't want you coming up here, so we're going to kill all your food so you'll turn back.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Because they easily could have killed all of them. They just killed the oxen, you know. Yeah.
Dicks.
Yeah, that's rough. So, they're running out of food, et cetera. And on October 19th, they had actually sent, one of the two people from the party up ahead to Fort Sutter. And one of them returns with 7 mules loaded with beef and flour and 2 Indian guides and news of a path that they can take through the Sierra Nevada.
They said that they have a month before the Sierra Nevada trail gets closed off by snow.
Right.
They told them they still had a month. So they fucking chilled for 5 days to rest up and eat so they could take off again.
Which
had they not done that?
But I don't know that they were chilling. They were fucking starving to death and exhausted.
Yeah.
And their animals were probably all about
and
to fucking
said
die.
Someone said you had a month.
You got a month. You were at the base of the Sierras right now. So they were just like, fuck it. We're going to chill. And we're going to.
They camped for 5 days.
Yeah, they camped for 5 days.
Had they camped for 4 days.
Yeah, exactly.
See, this is the thing of don't listen to anybody because fucking they listen to somebody about the trail, then they listen to somebody about the month.
You don't have Google. You have no choice. Yeah. Like You have to just take someone's word for it. They were just there. Someone else that's already done it. You're on unfucking
liars.
Never walk the path. You know, you don't know anything. Just,
it's like, I don't know. And I mean, this is a pale comparison because I'm not taking a trip like this, but it's like, if I'm going to fly somewhere and I'm like, oh, I'm going to leave for LAX. And people are like, oh, just leave like 2.5 hours early. You'll be good. And I'm like, nope, let's say 4.
Yeah.
Like
I do that too.
But I know a lot of people that are just like, oh, okay, 2.5. Missed my plane. Wah, wah, wah. It's like, I'm the guy that's like, no, fuck 2.5.
Then again,
I'm
though, 4. Then again, though, you've traveled before. These people might have not.
If it's a morning flight,
much,
I'll go the night before and fucking
see same fucking thing. Yeah. I'm just like, so I'm a paranoid traveler.
Yeah, I just get up, get some Starbucks.
It still happens.
If it's like life or death and they're like, you know, we got a month, I'm like, let's not take 5 days.
I mean, you could, it still happens. You could be a soccer team and then you have to eat your goalie's leg.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like shit happens.
Then again, I just had a realization. If they were all dumbasses enough from the jump to go on an unknown trail with this fucking guy, then they all fucking have it coming.
For one, they were like
you could have just taken the California trail. That's tried and true.
There were 42 children, a huge percentage of women. So that 87 was made above 42 children. I don't know how many women. And then the guys and of the guys, there's an alpha fucking male. So pretty much the children have no say. The women at that point probably didn't have much say. Yeah. And the vote's going to go
to a bunch of disabled
the
people.
Alpha male, right? And then you got some old man that fucking makes chocolate.
Well, I'm just saying day one in Springfield, this fucking dude's like, found the new trail. We're going to California, see? Yeah. And you're like, oh, let's sign up.
Still, the 42 kids were just getting in the wagon because they're told. And I mean, there wasn't a lot of say-so. There's like the couple top guys.
Yeah, the women get in the wagon because they're told.
Right, like, that's pretty much. So they end up getting into the Sierra Nevada mountains. And it's very late in the season. They start going up through the mountain path. And at this point, George Donner's axle breaks.
This might be the sleeping on the ground dogs.
That's what I was wondering. I was wondering if this might have been because this was in the cold. And
I hope that one star person will listen.
I'm listening. I'm leaving that one star review.
So his axle breaks and he has to repair it. And while he's repairing it, apparently he cuts the shit out of his hand, which delays them even further. And 21 people end up staying, you know, because there's families and alliances and whatever. So a total of 21 people stay back, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. So 21 people fall back with the Donners, and which again makes me curious why it's called the Donner Party, because the Donners stay here and then most of the people move forward.
There's a bunch of Donners though.
Because they go on the Donner. They were on the Donner Pass.
No, that's why it's called. The Donner Pass.
No, they went to the Donner Pass.
Well, just because it was their name?
Yeah.
We should take that path named after my people.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because so many Donners passed away.
Maybe. So on October 28th, they get fucking 5 feet of snow. And from what I read,
5 feet?
5 feet of snow. And they were something like 12 hours from the summit when the snow hit. So again, if they would have camped for 4 days, they would have fucking breached the summit when the snow hit and they would have been able to make it down the mountain.
Damn.
But
decisions,
man. So they get hit. And
it was also the worst storm in the Sierras of in history.
Right.
Like still today.
So this was meant to happen.
Yeah.
Like we can't even be mad about this.
Yeah.
Like,
so they end up the forward group, because at this point there's two groups. There's the forward group who moved on, and then there's the backwards group who stayed with the Donners. The forward group gets to a lake, which is now called Donner Lake, which it shouldn't be because the Donners weren't even at the fucking lake. Anyway,
that's where their camp was.
Memorandum.
The Donners were farther back.
They ended up camping at that lake though.
They make their way forward to the,
I don't want to one star review it again, but at some point they're all at that lake.
Okay.
Like that's where the camp ends up being. That's where they end up getting, when people do come for the like rescue party or relief party, that's where they find them, is at that lake.
So they end up at this lake. They find one abandoned cabin, and they're snowed in, and they realize, hey, I bet that abandoned cabin's here because people get fucking snowed in right here. So they build a couple more cabins and they build some tents, and they realize we're pretty much fucked.
Well, you're at Truckee Lake right now. That's where they're at, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So the two Indian scouts that they had end up trying to cross the summit just like by themselves, not with a fucking wagon train, whatever. And they come back and they're like, there's no way. Like this isn't happening.
I said it was 20 foot drifts.
Yeah.
I saw pictures of after the snow thawed, where they had cut, where the Donner Party had cut trees at ground level to like try to make fires and shit. And the trees were like, I don't know, 6 or 7 feet stumps, because that's how deep the snow was. And they had cut them at ground level as far as they were concerned. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
The snow was like 7 feet.
So record deep. Fucking blizzards start to come in. And simultaneously, Reed, who's been kicked out, is just like chilling down the mountain with all of his money. And he's hearing about these storms, and he knows the group has to be stuck. He tries to actually get a bunch of U.S. soldiers. He's going to pay for their time to try to send a brigade. Well,
he raised a bunch of money, didn't he?
Yeah, he was rich. Yeah. He was rich in the first place, except the Mexican-American War was on. So all the soldiers weren't there.
Right.
So the forts he was going to try to get help, they were like, there's nobody here to help.
Yeah.
So there was just nothing he could do except wait for winter to end and hope that his daughters and his wife lived, which again, I don't know why they did. Like, they had plenty of money. Like, once he's outed, why don't you all just say, okay, fuck it, we'll just hold up the fort until next year.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it, we have, like, I understand why a lot of them didn't, because literally your wagon and what was in it was everything you fucking
owned. Well, he tried to go, though. He didn't just camp out. He went and then, like, circled back when the snow stuff hit and went back to that fort for help. So he was, like, along, like, on a side path, is for what I understood.
He was just, like, creeping.
Trying to go, yeah, just off the side, trying to keep going, too.
I'm not in your group. Then,
yeah. Can't touch me.
Hey, guys. I'm in my own group.
I'm over here with the fire.
I'm in a different party eating all this jerky. You guys sure look hungry.
That's why, because that was the Terry party or the Reed party.
That was the Reed party,
And he was just yelling at him from the side, taunting them.
Yeah, he had bottle service. Like, he had a much better party. Like, that's the party you wanted to be at.
Again, your daughter's leg looks tasty, but really, I mean, Fox, you know. Not children.
We're over here.
Yeah.
Too bad you voted me out.
Yeah.
So anyway, they all end up there, and then they're fucking just stuck. By the time Thanksgiving comes, they had eaten the last of their oxen. And again, one of the reasons Reed backed off and didn't pursue it is he was like, oh, well, they have fucking 20 oxen. Right. Like, that's going to be enough food to get them through the winter.
Yeah.
You know, like, they should be okay. It's going to be rough, but they're going to make it, because he didn't know the fucking Paiute killed all their oxen.
Yeah.
They couldn't even, and the snowstorms were so bad and didn't let up for like 8-10 days at a time. They said that nothing that didn't have wings that was living could move. They said they couldn't hunt. There was nothing they could do.
Right.
They just had to bear down.
You're just fucking hunkering down.
Kill a cow at a time. I'll have to find that documentary and watch and post a link to it, because it was horrifying. Because it was like, killed another oxen. It had like, you know, read in the old voice.
Right.
You know, it'd be like, I killed my last oxen today. And like, it was going through the thing. He's like, I guess we'll make it one more day or something. Ate boiled hide, Thomas Reed, 1857. Like,
right.
Like, oh, God. This is horrible.
It's fucking rough. Yeah. So on November 29th, they get 5 more feet of snow.
5 more feet of snow?
5 more feet of snow.
Oh, feet of snow.
Yeah. And most of the animals that they hadn't eaten
That's an abortion clinic. Just for the
fetus no.
Fetus no.
Yeah.
They've been.
they're really progressive.
Like, yeah.
It's like a Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it's a cool one.
That
it's
one like fucking.
They have a dress commercial. Code.
You have to dress up. Try head on. Like the, you know, that their fucking commercials. Head on. For headaches.
Fetus no.
Fetus no. You have a fetus? No.
So all their animals are wandering off because of the fucking storm, and they can't lash them down. The animals that die that they would normally just like eat are like buried under 8 feet of snow, and they have no way to know where the fucking animal is. Like, it's just a shit show.
What's DARE stand for? Damn.
Drugs. I can't remember anymore.
Drugs are rarely very expensive.
You know, drugs are rarely expensive.
Drugs are rarely expensive.
Yeah. You know that did more harm than
just
good.
Say no.
They
to
found
fetus.
Out it caused more kids to do drugs than it prevented.
Yeah.
Because it
curiosity killed
them,
the cat.
Yeah, it familiarized them with it, and then it let them know that they're lying.
Because
they would tell you like weed's really bad, weed's really scary, alcohol, and you're like, I just got drunk, it was no big deal. Oh, I got stoned, it was no big deal. And they're like, well, then I guess I'll just fucking do heroin. It's a big deal. Like, you should have just told the truth about the bad ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you looking at DARE right now?
No.
I
just know because I want to make sure this says just say no to fetus. Like with the DARE logo.
Drug Abuse Resistance Education.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a horrible name.
It's bad. It's
bad.
Anyway, the Dahmer Party.
So the Dahmer Party. So at this point, they're starting to eat, like you said, boiled hides. They're eating twigs. They're eating bark. They're saying that they're just eating bark and chewing on twigs because the act, like one of the quotes I read was, the act of chewing on a twig makes me not cry out loud for bread.
Yeah.
Was like one of the quotes.
Hey, my mom just texted and she said it's safe to drink out of that. Okay. She said it looks like it's silver plating, but.
It is silver plating, yeah.
It's probably varying.
But I don't know what the metal is on the inside. It looks like brass or something. Yeah. It is brass.
Yeah, you're gonna. I wouldn't drink out of it.
Smell that whiskey now. Smell it. Smell it now. It has a.
Yeah, it's okay, like. Yeah.
It smells different.
Was like, smell that whiskey now. Smell it. Smell it. Smell the whiskey.
Smell
now.
It.
Why did you say it like five times?
Smell it. Smell it.
Smell, smell it. Smell it. See. Smell
at least
it.
I didn't say fuck a bunch.
Yeah.
Fuck that whiskey. Fuck it. Fuck it.
That's Dave. I don't know.
So on December 15th. Two members of the group, a guy named Ballas Williams and a guy named Corey Coulter, both died of malnutrition, and the group realized that something has to happen or they're all going to fucking die.
I thought you said they made it, like they were going to do something cool.
No. So, they did do something kind of cool, I guess. They ended
up... Fed the people there?
No, the people with snowshoes said, fuck y'all, we're leaving.
Nice.
So it ends up being 5 men, 9 women, and 1 child have snowshoes, and they're determined to cross the summit and make it the 100 miles to
Do you know how bad that sucked making snowshoes? Like they haven't eaten. Yeah. They're probably not sleeping very well. Think how cold it is when you're trying to like put up a tent in snow and shit, and they're out there with ox bones that they probably had to cut up and twigs and shit to make those fucking snowshoes.
This is all bad.
And they said
idea.
They were pretty half-assed. They would still sink in a little bit.
Right.
The snow was like 6-7 feet deep. It kept on top of it, I guess.
It's not packed.
And the historians call this group the Forlorn Hope Group.
Yeah.
And they set out to try and do this.
And one of the kids was 12 that went. Yeah, it's crazy. I can't imagine.
So the group that moves forward, on their 6th day of moving forward, they run out of food. For the next 3 days, fucking high winds, freezing weather, no food, nothing to hunt. Like there's just fucking nothing but blizzard. And then
because the animals are smart enough to snow.
Yeah.
It's not time to play.
Pretty much. So one of the a party member named Charles Stanton, who's snowblind and exhausted, can't keep up. And he tells him
snowblind.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
It's
when the light reflects off the whiteness, like
it blinds you?
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Haven't you ever been like...
No, I've never been snowblind.
Yeah,
I know what it is.
Sidewalk. Even like sidewalk will be like that sometimes. You walk out to a large area of concrete in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
You fucking can't look at it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It'll fuck you up.
Yeah. So he ends up he says, you know, go on without me. And they do.
And smokes his pipe.
And they never fucking see him again.
They said that he was last seen just sitting on the ground, calmly smoking his pipe.
Right.
He's like,
That's it.
He saved a little bit of tobacco for that.
So a few days later, they get caught in another fucking blizzard, and 1, 2, 3, 4 people die during that blizzard.
I think that's the part where they laid down, like dug the hole and put the blanket over them, and the snowpack covered them.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And they held down because they were just waiting for the storm to clear, and they had no shelter.
They made like an igloo.
Yeah, like 5 or 6 of them or something like that. They kind of dug out a thing, put a blanket over them, and then the snow quickly covered it. And they kind of made, like a little fucking pocket. And they were hoping their body heat would stay in there. And then one by one, dude, you got to watch the documentary. Like one by one, it's like this guy dies.
Outside in.
This guy dies. Yeah. This guy dies. And they just start dying. And then finally, like the 12-year-old is like shaking. He's dead, but he's still like convulsing and shit. And then this is when shit starts to finally be like, okay, fuck it. I'm going to eat somebody.
Right. So so people are dying. And at this point they're like, we have to fucking figure out how to light a fire and we got to eat a butt. And
so the one dude crawls out of that little pocket and gets the fire started again.
Yep.
And then when someone comes out to see that the fire started, that dude had shaved the flesh off of one of the dead guy's leg and ate it.
Well, it's crazy because this is where spam came from. Mm-hmm. Like the original, the maker of spam actually came from the party.
Right. Apparently the taste is very similar.
It is. Yes.
If you don't want to be a cannibal and you want to try it, that's how you can do it. That's as close as you can get.
Spam it up.
Yeah. Lions love spam.
Lions do?
Hawaiians.
Oh, Hawaiians.
Well, I'm sure lions do too.
I thought he said Mayans. You said Hawaiians.
Hawaiian lion Mayans love spam.
If my fever didn't have me dizzy, I've had enough whiskey now. I'm trying to keep my voice clear, but it's making my head spin.
Okay.
Trying to keep my voice clear.
Have another.
I'm going to pour some more.
So they start eating dead body. And again, this is the forward group. This is the group that's trying to make the
100 miles of fucking ridiculousness.
And then, so apparently at some point, a guy named William Foster is looking at the group of this, of the Forlorn Hope group, and they look at the two Indian scouts that are with them.
I pictured the cartoon. You remember back in the cartoons when like you'd start starving and all of a sudden the guy turns into like a big
ham hock.
Turns into
fucking chicken legs.
That's exactly what I thought about.
They probably did. They were like, damn, that Indian looks good.
So they've eaten all the dead white people. Yeah. So they figure the next best thing is
I've never had Indian. Yeah.
So yeah, I've never had Indian food.
Dark meat.
So they're
maybe
like,
it's juicier.
They're talking about this, and then one of the guys who likes the Indians, who are named Luis and Salvador, comes up to him and says, y'all, they're about to eat you. Like, you might want to fucking take off.
The thing I watched said that they stood in disbelief and looked at him like, no, they're not going to try to eat us. And they were like, oh, fuck, they have crazy eyes.
Right.
And they fucking took off. Yeah.
Yeah. But then they did vanish. So they go up ahead. They take off. A week later, the group catches up with them. And they've both collapsed from hunger because they haven't been cannibalizing, but they're still alive. And William Foster, who was described as insane by that point, shoots and kills both of them on the spot
and cooks
them up so he could eat them.
Yeah. Why even shoot them at that point? Like, you're starving in the snow, eating people, looking around at pork chop fucking Indians.
Well, yeah,
and then
kill
you
them.
Still kill them?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because what if they're like lobsters and you don't kill them? You don't know. You've never had an Indian before.
Yeah.
If you don't kill them, they could poison.
That's true.
You know what I mean? The meat could go poison.
I don't think that's true about lobsters.
Yeah, you have to cook them alive.
Because they'll release something?
Yeah. That's why they boil lobsters alive.
God, that's fucked up. They say they don't feel it, but I don't
they
know.
They scream like
they
a motherfucker.
Yeah. They try to crawl.
I don't know. Well, they don't feel it because it's so fucking hot. They just go numb.
Right.
Like something happens.
Well, you don't feel it.
I mean,
they're
just a shellfish, but
it's like lighting somebody on fire. Yeah. They don't feel it.
What I mean, my neighbor, he screamed for like 3 minutes.
What if
and then you're done.
Yeah.
What if a simulation theory is real and when we respawn, there's just lobsters waiting. Like, you're just like, oh, fuck. It's just like a big giant white plane like the Matrix where the guns are and shit. But it's just lobsters. Like that fucking scene in Pirates of the Caribbean where all the crabs are at.
I'm not afraid of lobsters. Okay, they won't come after you, but lobsters.
Have I had too much whiskey?
I think the fever. Lobsters. I have no fucking idea. Yo, it's like the Matrix. A big white plane with lobsters. With simulation theory, but we're lobsters.
No, the lobsters are after us.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Screw you guys. That made perfect sense.
That's good. I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
See, Brad knows what the fuck what I'm not talking about.
That was awesome. Brent, who's the guy with the crazy eyes that shot the Indians? That's what Brent's eyes look like right now.
He does. He's got snow blindness.
Yeah.
You gotta shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
He's lobster blind.
Yeah.
So because
I might need a ride home. I'm just
turns out because they ate the Indians, they had enough calories to actually get them down the mountain.
Yeah.
So they end up
Indians like fattier or were they skinny?
I don't think so.
No, they were like dying of starvation. So that
God damn it.
So
their bone marrow. Did they suck their bone marrow like pixie sticks?
I'm sure they did. Only two of the men survived, two guys named William Eddy and James Larson. All five of the women lived through the journey. Of the eight dead, seven had been cannibalized.
And the whole thing, they didn't mention the women, really. It was weird.
Like, no, they didn't.
They just said that those dudes were killing people and eating them. But then all of a sudden, like, and the women made it, too. And
well, it's because they were feeding their families.
Yeah, like, I think they were giving the women the food.
So check this out. Them. When they did that, they chopped them up and wrapped it neatly and labeled it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way, no one would eat their kin. That way, no one ate their relatives.
Yeah, so they were like, this is Geronimo.
Yeah, this
like,
one so was knew. The Indians. This one was your brother.
This is Sam.
I'm going to eat your brother. You eat the Indian.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Because that's where you draw the line.
Yeah.
When you're fucking eating people.
Yeah.
You can't eat your brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's like incest.
No, give your brother Ned over there.
Yeah.
He can eat your brother. Yeah, it is incest. Yeah. Like, they get in your belly, and what if you get pregnant?
Yeah.
Right.
From the dead flesh.
That's how it happens.
Yeah, you can't have your family's meat inside you in any fashion. So
no.
Or it's considered incest.
No.
It's like a matter-antimatter reaction.
Live or dead meat inside you.
Yeah.
Like it gets...
Oh man, the things that spoil the show.
So because they get through the mountains, they tell people, by the way, whole party up there is starving to death. So all these, so people are now informed that there are people.
Well,
up
there was
dying.
The Jehovah's Witness guy, the, Samuel Brannan was spreading the word of the Donner Party, like telling everybody, like, oh, these people are fucking cannibals now. They're eating each other.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, like, this is what's happening.
The
he was a journalist.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
He was writing the story on them, like watching them eat the Indians.
Yeah.
And
they went on blast. Yeah. So February, they've been up there with no fucking food in the fucking snow since October. And in February, the first relief party ends up trying to leave. Relief party goes up on February 7th, and that one is headed by James Reed. So on February 19th, the blizzards of, I mean, it's still fucking snowy as fuck, et cetera. Yeah. But the
first relief party, though, they came down to the lake because they heard that's where they should see them. Mm-hmm. And they were yelling and they said, I don't see a cabin. I don't see anything. And it's because the snow was so deep. It was above the cabin,
right,
above the lean-tos, above all that shit. And they said, they were like looking around. They thought, nah, it's fucking too late. And all of a sudden a skeleton woman came out of a hole in the snow.
Yeah.
And then another person and another person, and people started coming out of holes in the snow in the ground because it was like 12 feet high. And they said they just looked like ghost faced, like lost eyed.
They were all crazy.
It was fucking scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is how serial killers spawn.
It was like that first scene in Game of Thrones. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Same.
So the first relief party leaves with 23 of the refugees, but even just the trip back, two more of them die because they're so weak.
And that's the part where the 12-year-old girl decides to stay with her little brother.
Was that it?
Yeah. Ugh. The reason it hit home, I was like, damn, like,
did she decide,
kids almost that
age. You stay, like,
no, she said she'll stay back because her little brother couldn't come. So she could go with her mom, but she'd have to leave her 3-year-old brother with a bunch of cannibals. What's crazy is the mother, Mrs. Reed, had managed to keep all of her kids alive. So all their kids survived at that point.
Well, she was eating everybody else's family. Yeah. We're good.
Well, they were also.
No, they didn't eat anyone. They never ate anyone.
Well, they were also the fucking rich ones. They had the fucking two-story tour bus. They probably had a shit ton of canned food.
They lost
and
that
preserved
shit.
So you're just saying that they were just smarter than the rest of everybody else.
Well, they're stingy with their fucking ox meat. Like, they still had an ox when other people were eating hides.
Well, but even after they left the salt flats, though, they had more supplies catch back up with them, and they probably paid for supplies.
Yeah. I mean, before you eat your kid, like, don't you go after their ox?
Oh, they were all dead. You know their what I dogs mean? Like, were eaten. Their oxen were eaten.
I know,
oh,
but
you
they
mean
still
go after
had,
the other people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then when people had nothing, they still had hide or something, though. You know?
Yeah.
So they weren't just, they were just like a couple, they were a week or so ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
Damn.
As far as going crazy.
So more relief parties keep coming up and trickling people down. More people start finding evidence of cannibalism at all the fucking campsites.
The trip was that first relief party gets to the summit or whatever, and the second relief party is coming, and it's Reed. And his wife and one of his kids are in the fucking, in that first relief, and they didn't. He thought his family was dead. He's like, "Oh, they're fucking dead, probably."
Oh,
sure. Reed actually sees his family at that point for the first time.
How happy would you be?
Fuck.
How long had it been? Yeah, you think
months.
Your family's fucking dead, and he took off on the side route or whatever.
Months.
Doubled back, tried to pay for fucking soldiers. They're all fighting Mexicans. Yeah. He went back again, and then he makes it. He made it all the way through to California or something, right? Because he's coming back for the relief party that way.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, he's coming back across the thing with the relief party, and then there's his fucking wife and his kid, and she says, "Hey, she's okay now. She's back there watching little fucking Joey or whatever."
And she was when I left her.
Yeah, I left her,
yeah.
With the cannibals.
Right.
In the snow hole. Yeah.
No.
Fuck. So the more relief parties keep coming. On March 3rd, Reed leaves the camp with 17 of the survivors, and then they get caught in another fucking blizzard because it's February in the fucking mountains, which is ballsy. I mean, these rescue teams aren't like, well, guess we got to wait for spring. They're like, fuck it, let's go.
There was a public debate about it.
They got to save. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to save people.
They said that if California were to ever be like established as a state or whatever, that it would go down in history That they didn't try to save their own.
Right.
And so they finally said, we will save them or die trying.
Right.
And they went for it.
Yeah. Because it was dangerous to go up there. They get up there. Isaac Donner had died. Most of the refugees were too weak to travel. I'm trying to see. They call this area the Starved Camp. Like, that's the official cheerful name for it. On March 12th, the next relief group led by William Eddy and William Forster reached Starved Camp, and they find a bunch of cannibalized bodies, including Isaac Donner. So more and more people are getting confirmation that all these people
I read that Isaac Donner he got rescued on the second relief.
Because he was George Donner had a gangrenous arm.
Yeah, you're not eating so. That.
Just not random facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says Isaac Donner, members rescued by second relief, Isaac Donner, age 5.
Oh, I think this was the father.
Oh.
It might have been a father, Isaac Senior. Because I have two different places that talk about Isaac Donner dying and being eaten.
People need to get their shit together.
Yeah, I don't know. But then, did you read about Louis Kessberg up there?
When the fourth, names, but go ahead.
The fourth relief party gets up there and they find Louis Kessberg. Oh, and they find him.
Oh, yeah. And he had
his guns. He still had ammo.
He had
pots full of meat. Uh-huh. He had a bunch of gold that was reportedly from the Donner's wagon.
Yeah.
And they said that he still had frozen animal meat untouched and in the corner. And
but he was eating the people.
But they said he had lost his mind, though.
But he had lost his mind, and he had eaten his own son.
Well, probably because his son died. His son probably died.
Sure.
Because he hoarded all the animal meat.
Well, he might have had Blackfoot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he could have got some gangrenous, body parts.
So apparently when he gets back down, like, he's just fucked for his entire life. Like, he takes the brunt of the social stigma of cannibalism is all on this guy. Like, he ends up living in isolation as a crazy person for the rest of his life because no community will let him in because he's the one who ate his own son and still had animal meat.
How does anyone bounce back from any of that?
There was a story
about when they walked up, one of the women had all of the flesh. She was dead. Laying in the snow, all of the flesh was stripped from one of her arms and one of her other legs or something, and her heart, her chest had been opened and her heart and her liver removed, and her child was sitting in the snow crying on her body saying, "Mama, mama, mama," while one of her arms was skeleton and the other leg was skeleton and heart and liver taken from her chest, and it was like a 3-year-old little kid was just crying on her body yelling, "Mom, mom, mom," like, wake up. Yeah, that's horrifying. Worse than anything you've seen in a movie, probably.
People
were just built tougher back then. Like, that little girl probably grew up and got a job at the general store.
Well, one of the normal kids, life. Dude, one of the kids they talked about, that little kid, maybe the 3-year-old kid or it was a 5-year-old kid, walked through the snowdrift. They said on the rescue, when they were going up the summit, it was up to most people's knees, but that kid was so small, it was up to his waist, and it was fucking miles, and he never stopped, and the snow was up to his waist. He's like 5 years old, and all he kept saying was, "I'm going to get bread and soup or something." He just kept saying, "I'm going to get bread and soup when I get there."
I bet you that shit tasted good if you made it.
That's like when you tell your kids, "Hey, man, if you just be quiet in the back seat, we'll get you a treat or a prize."
Who tells them that?
We're going to get a fucking prize.
I tell them, if you don't be quiet in the back seat, you're going to get your fucking ass beat.
I'll tell you who says that. Millions of fucking people. Kids.
Stupid.
I get you. It reaches the ass kicking point, but you do offer the prize first.
No.
But that little fucking kid was just, "I'll get bread and soup when I get there, waist high snow, climbing a fucking mountain." Kids don't do that shit. There's every fucking kid.
Keep that
on the
in
couch.
Mind the next time your kid's crying in the car because he wants fucking Skittles.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
I seen a fucking kid in Walmart almost punted his ass. He fucking, "Mom, you know, candy, mom, mom." The mom's like, no candy. And he starts throwing a fit. And I'm like, oh my God, like field goal, bitch.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's horrible. Don't let your kids bully you around. I will. I kicked her right in the fucking.
You should give her a stone cold.
Right in the I'd have kicked her right in the weenus.
No, you punch it. You don't know where the weenus is at. You have to give her.
I don't care. I'll try. I'll just kick somewhere.
No, it's uppercut.
Uppercut.
Yeah,
I'll kick her in the ovary.
That's the punch. Right.
Yeah, and I do ovary kicks.
So the final numbers are that 45 of the original, the total of 89 that made it up the mountain actually made it down to the other side to California. Two-thirds of the men in the party had perished. Two-thirds of the women and children lived. 49 or 40, anyway, mm-hmm. all those people yeah. survived. Yep. In the end, five died before reaching the mountain. 35 perished at the mountain camps or trying to cross the mountains. And then several died like trying to reach the valley. Tons of them were fucked up from frostbite, obviously, afterwards. Right. And then I looked into James Reed, and apparently Reed moved to the Napa Valley. And he became the sheriff of Sonoma County. And this was the rich fucking guy with the,
yeah, they never, oh, yeah. never mentioned stabbing.
But yeah. He, you know, moved to Napa right. like you would.
He buys a bunch of land and manages a fruit farm. And then he strikes gold in Placerville and becomes even richer. And actually, San Jose State University is like built on land that his family gave to the Cal State system because they were just a fucking wealthy ass. So the Reed family made out okay, which I guess is again why it's not called the Reed party.
I wonder if he went with the family, like if he didn't stab homie, you know, and went with the family, if he would have made it. Like, because he was so headstrong.
That's a good question.
I'm just impressed like, that women and children, like, it was let them go first, but they're going to be right. fine. Look at the percentage. Like, they're just more resilient. I don't know what it is.
Well, no, I think it's
good. Maybe
it's
the guys the men are out dying.
I think the guys were sacrificing trying to save their children and their wives. And I'm sure that was a big
part you, of it. you would eat somebody else's child before you ate your own.
Right.
You know,
but taking so more risks.
Yeah.
Like, vag jabbing women in Walmart for having bad kids.
Yes. You got to look around. Yeah. Like, is the camera pointing right on you before you do the hard? Yeah. You can, you know.
FYI, most of the Walmart cameras are fake, except for the ones pointing at the cash registers.
Yeah. I was at the cash registers. So I knew what was up.
How do you know that?
Researching.
Walmart. I think
research. It's fucking shoplifter. I did research before his big.
No, it had nothing to do. No, it's because they keep Walmart gets sued a lot.
You know
because
what?
Because people
that's a cool story. Cool story, bro.
No, people get mugged. Like people have been raped in the parking lot, like right under security cameras.
Yeah, it's like cameras.
And then when they're
like,
what about that camera? And they're like, oh, those cameras don't work. Like they only put cameras on their employees handling money.
Yeah.
Not anywhere in the fucking store.
Well, and in the restrooms. Right above the toilets.
But then they just put fake cameras everywhere to make you think you're being watched.
You know what? I'm with you, Brent. I thought it was kind of weird. Dave contacted my buddy Bob, Bob Kaysen, because he was security at Walmart for a while. Now I understand. I see what's going on.
Well, your original intentions were probably for the good of the public.
Yes.
But why not take advantage of the fact that the cameras aren't aiming at the sunglasses, right?
Yeah.
Because I hate Walmart so much I won't even steal from Walmart. Because I won't go in there.
Good cover.
No, I don't steal from anything anymore. I have enough money to buy the things I need, so I don't steal anything.
What a pimp. I buy my own sunglasses now.
I got enough money to buy the shit I need to, and I still steal shit. I have enough money to buy the shit I steal.
I don't need to steal it.
Because, no, that's the good thing about it. Because if I get caught, I'll be like, oh, no, I'll just pay for
you
it.
You should just steal it, pay someone else. Like, pay someone else what it would be with tax. Yeah, you're like the weird Robin Hood where you steal sunglasses and then pay someone fucking $42 or whatever.
At the height of my shoplifting prowess, myself and friends
of
mine.
I like there was a height.
There was a height.
That means it escalated.
Like. Myself and my friends of mine wouldn't just shoplift. We would shoplift by sneaking it into other people's pockets.
You would get your friend to shop.
So if I wanted to take something, I would take it. I would sneak it into your pocket. And then when we got out of the store, I'd say, give me that shit in your back pocket. And you'd reach in and find the shit that I stuck in your back pocket.
So you would get caught for it.
But how are you not knowing that if you're all going in the store to steal shit?
Because we weren't just going in the store. We were just going in the store. And then you'd get out and someone would be like, hey, give me that candy bar.
Yeah, give my Reese's Pieces.
Like, what the fuck?
I think I stole more candy than fucking anything.
Yeah.
I stole candy all the time. There's a lucky. Oh, fuck yeah. I always stole the big candy bars, like the fucking giant Hershey's bars. Always.
Well, why steal a small one?
Yeah. Just take a big one. Yeah, if you got to go big or go home. Like,
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of more names for punching women parts, but I can't think of it.
Well, speaking of names, I do want to say the Patreon shout out. So the Patreon shout out was that I randomly inserted the names of several Patreon patrons throughout the episode and gave them a historical context. So thank you, Patreon patrons, Stuart Jeffs, Brian Stevenson, Kim Sapienza, Jessica Steeman, Yanuri Dietrich, Ashley Deli Carpini, Vard Terry, Corey Coulter, and James Larson, who were all snuck into the episode.
I feel like
as
Vard Terry should
figures.
Be Terry Vard. I think that's backwards.
Well,
I think it is.
Not in the Old West.
Yeah.
Vard, that's Vard Terry, you got your shout out. Nice first name.
So if you're a one-star history freak, you can go back and edit those names out of the story because they weren't really in the Old West. And if you're a patron, then congrats.
Speaking of Yanuri Dietrich, tit hit. There's another girl, a girl punch, a tit hit. That's the girl that Brad originally threatened to cut her tits off and come in her ear.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, I want to tell a story because she like said, hey, give me a shout out on the show, like over fucking Facebook Messenger. And it was like way back when, dude, she's an old school fan. I said, yeah, I'll see what I can do. And so I tried to be like sly and bring it in, like just, oh, like this is a nice girl or whatever. Like, and right when I say her name, Brad's just like, fuck that bitch. I'll cut her titties off and come in her ear. And I was like, Jesus Christ. So I like
fan for life, baby.
I messaged her and apologized. Like, hey, sorry. Like I gave you a shout out, but like Brad's a dick. He said some fucked up shit. Like I'm just giving you a heads up. And then she's like, ha ha ha. Fucking loves it that Brad said he's going to do that. And she happens to be the current king of Patreon. She's nice. Giving us more fantastic. Money than anyone. Yeah, she's giving us $50.
Because I did cut her titties off. Finally.
And I will also say,
well, according to my false narrative, she lost a wagon along with the Donners.
Well, yeah. That's given. But she has a sticker on her vehicle driving around somewhere in Texas, I think, that is like a fucking
Washington?
A 4-foot Washington. Decal. It used to be Texas. She did move at some point.
Chicago or something.
But only my brother and Yanuri Dietrich have that. Because at some point in time when we had a vinyl like sponsor, they were printing those for us and people requested them. But as far as we got was Yanuri Dietrich and the machine broke. And so we couldn't get any more stickers. But that I know.
Because we don't know any other sticker company.
She still has a giant fucking. Well, they were doing it like cool, like for a good price. The other sticker company that we currently knew was like, we can't just be giving that away. It's like fucking $40 bitches. Or something for the back window. Yeah,
we can't help you guys out.
Yeah, $40 for every fucking person. How many people want stickers?
Vinyl don't cost that much.
How are we not giving tattoo shout outs right now? Three people fucking got tattoos.
Yeah, good job, guys.
No, I'll get it.
I know Steve Salbo got one.
We'll give him a shout out by name on the next episode.
Yeah, I'll get the names. I'm sorry.
Bob Atwood. Atwood was the first one.
Bob Atwood is
the first one.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know the middle one. I only seen two. I didn't see all three.
Yeah, but thank you. Those don't wash off.
That's dope.
I don't think you guys should do that shit. But thank you. Like we're honored and flattered. Holly Astral is tattooing the conspiracy panda on someone.
Holly Astral.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you mean Hoary Asshole?
Oh, Hoary Asshole. Yes, Snail Trails, as we call her. She just scoots like a puppy and leaves snail trails. Yeah, after she's painted the town.
Oh, so she's not itching. She's not itching her ass. She's like
it's
literally
not worms.
No,
it's more to try to get rid of the burning sensation from horn all over.
Town. I did at one point have my ass was itching so bad. I did try the dog scoot.
No.
When you resort to that, like it's bad. Like
that didn't happen. So I told that story about pulling shit out of your ass or whatever, that shit story. And then out of nowhere from the universe, my friend that story was about contacted me when we actually hung out again. And he was
You pulled shit out of your ass, bro.
I was kidding. I was like, you weren't kidding. He's like, well, I was kidding about being mad. I mean, you've done that. I know everybody's done it. And then he fucking said it again that he did it.
Hey, if you're listening, you're out there. No, everybody hasn't done it.
No, in fact, everyone has not.
Yeah. No. I think you're a solo act, sir.
So, but Holly is a tattoo artist in the United Kingdom.
I'm not familiar with Holly.
She drew, just being a dick.
Alien a whorey.
She drew a really cool picture of a conspiracy panda. It really is like 7 degrees from our show. She loves the show. She wanted to draw
it's a ramen noodle bowl with a pigeon.
I talk about Top Ramen and the pigeon thing. So, but she loves pandas. So she put her spin on it. So it's a panda wearing a tinfoil hat, holding a pigeon in a bowl of Top Ramen.
And you know, pandas are pieces of shit, right?
I don't know. They seem nice to me. I could get along with
them. Have you ever cuddled with a panda?
But someone's getting a full sleeve of that conspiracy panda.
Nice.
A full sleeve?
Yeah. Like that conspiracy panda is going to be like their whole fucking arm, I guess.
What do they want that for?
Trying really hard to tell a story. It's tough.
Sponsors.
But anyways,
I just have questions. That's all. Yeah. It's not.
I'm going to tell a really gruff. I'm going to do it in a voice.
Go.
I'd like to thank, I could really take advantage of this scruffy voice. I'd like to thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can log on to their website. You can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it at Walmart. You get it at mexgrocer.co.uk, which some people have done. Don't complain about shipping if you're in Australia. It ain't Yucateco's fault. Yeah. It's just how much jet fuel costs.
If you're not sure, by the way, you're listening to Brad do an impression of Brent doing an impression of Bill Clinton.
Doing an impression of Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. Very,
it's Matthew
very
McConaughey surprising. Clinton.
Yeah.
Brad.
Brent/Brent.
I'd like to thank printdirtcheap.com. You can log on to printdirtcheap, save some money by using code SOFAKING. I'd also like to thank Digital Creations for all of our coffee mugs and memorabilia that they make for us, handcrafted. I'd like to remind you that you can contact them through Facebook and Instagram, and you can have them make specialty goods such as serial killer blankets.
I like how, like, whenever we do impersonations, we take on different vocabulary. Yeah. Like our vernacular is different.
To.
Yeah. That's great.
They can also put mug shots from bad people on coffee mugs. So if you've got an idea, feel free to contact them on Facebook and Instagram. I need to thank De Leon Graphics. He makes all of our shirts, including those sexy-ass Patreon shirts for SK Ultra that I sent out a new batch this week, and I'm sending out a whole bunch tomorrow. If you're in Australia, I'm fucking sorry. It cost $1 million to ship it, and we were working real hard to get them to you.
We're saving our money up so we can actually ship all the shirts.
It's $25 per minimum shirt. per shirt to send you guys those fucking shirts. We're doing it.
So if you got a $10 shirt, we really debated on saying U.S. only, but we really don't want to do
And that's
it.
Canada, U.K., fucking, there's people everywhere, dude. We're sending those shirts. So a little bit of it bit us in the ass.
So the member cards and stuff are kind of, they're coming, but like we're dealing with the shirt issue right now. So,
but this week I should be caught up shipping shirts.
It should be good.
I think so. Thank you for that. And last but not least, I'd like to thank Daniel Camarillo over at Camarillo Jiu Jitsu, armhunter.com, where he sells booty shorts, apparel, and instructional DVDs. Thanks again, Dan, for all your help. That's all I got.
Sounds good.
That's it.
I don't have any stories to talk about. That's long. Mm-hmm. All right.
Eat a butt.
Uppercut. Vag jab. Tit hit.
Yeah.
What you got?
All right. Don't be a retard.
Untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Pack a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb ass him be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimps be. On a mission for them greens. Lean, mean, money making machines serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Ever since Honeys was wearing Sassoon. Now it's 95 and they clock me and watch me. Diamond shining, looking like a Rob Liberace. It's all good, from Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb if your city making pain. Throw up a finger if you feel the same way. Straight putting it down for California,
California. Screaming, fiending for money and alcohol, the life of a West Side.
coast. Long Beach in the house, yeah. Oaktown, Oakland definitely in the house. Frisco, yeah. Frisco. And you know LA up in this. Pasadena, where you at? Yeah, Inglewood. Inglewood always up to no good. Even Hollywood trying to get a piece, baby. Sacramento, Sacramento, where you at?